so, you have an incurable progressive illness, or maybe were thrown an unexpected disability.
What the heck, universe?
Living with a chronic illness can really suck. Seriously, it sucks, and we'd like a refund. So, let's flip the script and let it make you instead of break you.
On today's podcast... Yeah, exactly. So, Kathy Chester. You guys don't know who she is. She's one of my favorite people because sometimes she'll pull you out of your comfort zone, even when that's what you preach 99% of the time. So on today's podcast episode, we'll be speaking with Kathy Chester, MS Disrupted. She looks amazing, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
She looks absolutely fabulous and fresh. And my crusty self over here is... for going to the Bruins and Ducks game last night at the Honda Center in Anaheim. And I'm paying so much MS tax today, Kathy. So much tax.
Oh, yeah. I bet you are.
So I fell in love with you.
I bet.
I fell in love with you like 3 years ago when I first came into this family of badass MS people. And patients and warriors, and I have been smitten with you. And it's so funny. So Kathy and I had we had like a little hiccup in the algorithm of photo changes with Instagram and social media. When did this happen? This happened like 2 months ago, where you thought that I defriended you. I unfriended you on it.
Yeah, I was like, wow, one of my favorite people. I'm like, what happened?
I'm such a visual person that when somebody changes their thumbnail or their profile picture, like it throws off my brain, and I literally don't know who you are unless I click on you and get in there.
Right.
But I just love you. I love what you do. I love you. You know, everything about what you're doing for the MS community and your fitness empire. Because I think it's an empire.
I love that. I'm going to call it that.
It is an empire. So for those that may not be familiar with what you do, give us a little bit of background.
Sure. So for me, fitness was just always a part of my life. And, I mean, I can remember being little and not understanding why I couldn't play football with the boys. And then as it grew with high school and my week of college until they told me I had to go home with my baby. And I was like, what? So, and then find out I had MS so early. It became more than just, you know, something that I enjoyed. It became... let me back up a little bit. So being diagnosed, I already had a grandfather and an aunt who had MS. And I watched, you know, I was diagnosed so early. So we're talking like late 90s. And so I knew that watching them and think about back then, they were told, you know, rest, and there were no medications for them. So I knew that this didn't make any sense when they tell you just to go to bed, rest, you know, maybe you can take us. I remember the first like video I watched, it was like, you could take a stroll or you could, if you could, and then, possibly a bike ride later. And I was like, no, I watched this already. And I watched them crumble up to nothing and atrophy. And so even though they were saying all the things, like the same stuff, rest, I just was like, okay, thank you. But I went home and just started my own workout plan. Now, in the beginning, I'd be lying if I said it was like an MS workout plan. It was, I'm going to run the MS the hell out. So that was my idea. I'm just going to keep running till it goes away.
Now, were you always a pretty active person?
Yeah, definitely. I always loved sports. I always did. It was always something. But I think I just understood the body and the mechanics that all of like what it did. I always loved joining other people, like having other people join me with it too. I loved running. I liked the idea that was like your own, you know. I liked that part of it too, where you kind of had to push yourself, but I also liked the camaraderie of like different team things. So I think like
when I was diagnosed, I knew immediately I didn't want to watch myself deteriorate like I watched my grandfather and my aunt. So I started to just think of ways that I could stop myself from doing that. So eating differently, but more importantly, just getting my body right. Moving differently. So knowing that, you know, I was a coach, I did boot camps and things like that, and understanding that as I grew older, as the MS, you know, grew with me, I always call it the unwanted guest. Like, remember that movie, What About Bob or something? And remember that? And I just always kind of think of it like that. Like, it's never going to leave, no matter how many times you're like, get out, but it just doesn't. So you have to make some kind of a, not friends with it, but some kind of a, it's here, it's not leaving.
Yeah, I think you have to make an ally. You have to be allies with it. Right? And that, I think that's
right.
That's a hard place for a lot of people living with MS to come to. Because
for sure.
Requires a lot of self-acceptance, self-love, being super humbled. Good Lord, has MS humbled me? It is humbled. It is humbled.
It will do that. It does. And when you don't think, you know, when you think that you got a handle on it, it's like, then it just comes back.
This too shall pass. Good and bad. You're in the good. This too shall pass. You're in the bad.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Brace yourself.
So I think for me, I just started, you know, as I was getting more and more involved in teaching and being a coach and doing work, working at different studios and managing, it gave me more of an opportunity. It was kind of more, when people started finding out back then that I had MS, it was interesting because back then you were really nervous to tell people because you didn't do that. We didn't have social media. You didn't talk about the MS. You were afraid to lose your job, lose your kids. So it wasn't something you shared, but there were people in my world of fitness and as a teacher, as an instructor, that people were coming to me with things like after a stroke, with lupus, with Crohn's, with MS, and were saying, do you, and I would just, you know, very frankly talk to them and say, I have multiple sclerosis. You know, at that time I had it for like, let's say 10 years. And I've actually begun to do some workouts that are helping me. And so I would then help them. I would then start to train them. And so that's kind of how I got into it as far as working out and training different people with different diseases. And then I started getting certified. No certifications were around then for any of that. It was for healthy people, for well people. And so I started to think of my body and started to work out with them. And what was funny, honestly, Brittany, was that when they were around, my next step is really beginning my own to teach, because I would be sitting in, I'm like, I've already done this.
Right.
I can teach the class. And, or it was something that it was just to get money, because it was like, these people didn't know what they were doing. And I've seen more of that, my goodness, through COVID and all that, where it's just something to make money. And it's really not teaching anything about what we have. And it's like, what do we always say? You don't know what you have. And, you know, there's so many like hacks and people coming up, especially with social media, all available. And I'll sit in there and, you know, now that you're doing a podcast, there will be some that you won't be able to air. And that will be something that is just kind of what we do. Yeah. And a lot of people come on and I'm like, I'm sorry, what is your title? And who gave, you gave yourself the title. How interesting. So there's some times where it's like,
It's funny though, because like we have accessibility to so much, and I think there's so much room for opportunity and there's so much room for growth. But then again, you run into people that don't share the same values and the same moral compass as you, and you're like, wow, this is going to be filed away.
Right. Yeah. You're like, all right, thanks. So there was a lot I ran into in the beginning, you know, that I could, you know, I tend to get real naive about some things. And I'm sure you felt this too. Once we found, you know, so many of us and on the internet and things like that, when I found the different exercise MSers, I was like, oh, let's make a pack and we'll all be together. And then you get kind of wounded because you realize not everybody's in it for the same reasons. And some people are in it too. Exploit to make a lot of money, and you realize you want to break away from that. And so doing this on my own and building MS Disrupted was something that was really meaningful to me, because it's my, so the difference I would say, Brittany, is I'm with you the entire time, whether it's Zoom with the other people or whether it's one-on-one. I'm never going to throw a video at you and say, watch here, this, do your right. best. I know you can't, right. I know you can't walk or do anything, but I hope you do this really well. It's just that can never
it's disconnected. It's totally disconnected. And then I'll watch, Absolutely. What you post on Instagram. And it's so funny. It's like social media is such a blessing and a curse, because it sounds so minuscule and it sounds so, I don't know, millennial, like, oh, put it on the gram. But it's like these connections that you're making with people like Adam. Like Adam is another, oh my gosh, I love seeing you guys together online because it's like, yes, that's what it's about. You know what I mean? And I loathe, and I'm sure that you've heard me say this before, but I loathe the term influencer, because I think it's so empty. When I think influencer, I think of, oh, like makeup tutorials and cooking, you know, and be like me. It's like the popular kid. You know what I mean? It's like the popular kid. And it's like, I was never, trust me, never the popular kid. And I'm still not the popular kid. People will be like, oh, you seem so cool. I'm like, dude, you don't realize, you don't know. You know what I mean? But it's, I have found so much value in being able to connect with people like you online. Like you and I have never physically even hugged each other. And I know you. It's like, it's bizarre. It's a gift.
I know.
It's
beautiful. I got to get there so I can actually hold you. Because it is like, you feel these friendships and it's like, they're more real than friendships you have.
Oh my gosh,
in person.
Yes.
You know? And I would rather spend an hour with you on the phone or doing this than so many people that I live right by. And you don't know how to explain
Well, you don't get it. You don't get it people. Unless you get it.
Until you get it.
Until you get it. Yeah, so exactly. True. And you have made, like, you are such a great example, Kathy, of somebody that was able to take something, again, that is supposed to completely destroy you and completely fracture, you know, the algorithm of where your life is supposed to go, and made it into something positive. Because like you said, the beginning of this conversation, it's not going anywhere. There's nothing that we can do to change it, but we can alter it. We can alter the path. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I think too, like when COVID happened and we all were locked down, you know, like not going anywhere. We don't know how long. I think that gave me an opportunity, Brittany, to, you know, because that's when my gym was getting bigger and bigger. And they were talking about, you know, building a second gym. And inside, my stomach was just in knots because I didn't want that. And I knew at that time, the growth was getting larger as far as our autoimmune world. And they were wanting me to do more. And it's just me. And I feel very strongly about that. Until I can train other people that I trust to help do what I do. And that's a big thing, because I don't want them in it for the wrong reason. And I really wanted to do more of that. And so when 2020 happened, the good and the bad of COVID, right? It gave me the opportunity to sit back and say, do I really want to do
this? It was a catalyst.
Or can I? Right. It was like, babe, I got a great offer for you. I'm going to make a third of my income. That's a bonus. And I'm going to drop the gym, move, and I want to do this. And so, thankfully, like both of us have husbands that are rock stars that will do that, allow us. And so that was the huge blessing to be able to go into this and work with our MSers and our autoimmune people that I really wanted to do this. Has it been slow in coming? Of course, because it's me. It's not, you know, I don't have this huge, you know, hundreds of thousands of people that are are in this.
Yeah. So, I think that makes a huge, huge difference to having the right partner and, you know, the right spouse to support you and to back you. We are very, very blessed. And it's so hard hearing, you know, I mean, I make it a point to, I am a stickler about always responding to people's DMs, and messages. And I get so frustrated when I'll hear somebody say, you know what, I don't have that support. And it's like, you deserve that support. You deserve that support. And the support is out there. It's going to be out there with the right person. Because right. now, were you and your husband together prior to your diagnosis or after?
No. So I was married for 18 years. He was in college and going to be a professor. And then we were married and he decided he wanted to be a pastor. And I was like, what? Because I don't play the organ and I don't say love you, ma'am. So I was like, what the hell do you do with that? I'm like, I talk. So that's what I did. I talked a lot.
I love it.
I really love teens and I love young adults. So immediately that's where I found my jam. I worked with the young adults. I was nervous about that because, you know, having a baby, and I could tell them I went to college for a week and they told me I had to take my little guy home. So I don't know. I didn't think they would, but you realize what they want and you right. know this. They want authentic. They want us to be authentic. Once you're there, they love you. So I was like, hey, I make popcorn. I love to cook. I'm Italian. I will make spaghetti. I'll do whatever. So we had them over all the time. And that's what I liked. He liked the women's ministry, like more hands-on, if you yeah. know what I'm saying. So that was his jam. So that didn't work really well for me. I didn't like having like three people in bed and five. So that yeah. just didn't work for us. So we weren't I stayed in the marriage for 18 years, girlfriend. And then I was like, I can't do this. So he went off to be a chaplain to help other young men to do what he did. So I swore off marriage and all that stuff. I was training my husband for a while. And he didn't need to be trained. He's very good at it. He's a very strong.
There was a method to his madness. But,
yes, there was. And he didn't ask me out for a long time. He knew better. So then finally he fired me. And I was like, who fires a single mom, you jerk? So no. He was like, because I want to ask you out, but you don't date clients.
Oh.
So I finally went out. Funny story, you'll appreciate now, is I didn't drink. I was a pastor's wife. I never had an alcohol and nothing. Yeah. So I heard the guy behind me say a Manhattan. I was like, that sounds cool. So I ordered a Manhattan. I was
oh my gosh.
So funny. So that was interesting. But yeah, so then we were already friends because we were training for a while. So now we have five young adults.
Oh my gosh. That's amazing. Yeah. I love that. I love, you know, yeah. It's so crazy looking back in retrospect. You're like, oh, that's why that happened. And that's why that happened. And I feel like the older you get, the more aha moments you can see. The aha moments yes. are always there, but having the perception yeah. to be like, oh, okay, I'm going to put on my perception glasses for a second. And now I can see all these little things that have lined up.
Right.
And it's hard.
I think too.
It's hard when you're in it though. You know, and you want, especially like yeah. as Christian women, we like to have the answers, but sometimes like, no,
right.
you know what? I don't know what the hell you're doing up there, but just do it. Just handle it.
Yes.
Take over things because it's way, way too much of a burden. And yeah, you know.
It's really like,
yeah, no, I can't absolutely.
Do this I was like, I've been through enough. I'm not interested. I'm good. And it was just like, I mean, the kids were like, mom, please leave. Please do something. Because all you do is go to work and drive us crazy. So I was like, and my youngest was like, mom, you're going to be an angry lesbian. Please find something. So I'm like, what? They're like, mom, you're just angry. You work too much. You're crabby. Just go on a date. Hysterical. So I finally did. And it was, you know, it was interesting because here this man is knowing nothing about multiple sclerosis. And at that time, I was so strong, and it didn't look like there was anything wrong with me. And so, you know, I'm trying to give him this fast lesson right. on multiple sclerosis, and I look good now, but I could be this. And so then we get married in 2019, and then boom, I get this JC virus comes, and everything's like, brrr. And so I'm like, and this is MS, so congratulations.
Yeah.
I don't know. So, you know, we had some scary things happen and foot drop and all that fun stuff that comes with that. And then, oh, one more thing. I have epilepsy.
Oh,
didn't know I
my
had
gosh.
That.
No so way.
That was a year ago. I had it before, but the doctor missed my old neurologist gotcha. Missed it. So it's just all the fun stuff that this man has had to, you know, figure out. But you know, it's all that crazy stuff that happens. But I think, you know, it helps us, and I know this is big on your heart, relate to other, you know, autoimmune, the people that have these things that all of right. The whole picture, as I do, I also do a just female support group. And I think it really helps us to be able to relate to them, especially the newly diagnosed ones that feel like I'm always going to be alone.
Right. Yes.
And when we can say things, you know, that like there is someone for you, even when you really don't think there is.
There is. I know. And it's like, it will become that aha moment when the little changes and the little steps are taken in that person's life where they can go back and go, oh, okay. But when you're in it, you guys, it's really hard to see. We get it. We understand, you know? And I think it's what we do, I think, comes with great responsibility. And, you know, like even this morning, right? So just so you guys know, it was like 7 a.m. My husband and I, we had spent two full days. He was working a little bit of the time on the weekend. And the times that he wasn't working, we went antiquing and we went to restaurants and we, you know, walked around Pomona and then did the whole, you know, where were we yesterday? Oh, it was a hockey game. And, you know, the game was only, it started at 5:30 and we got home at 9, which isn't a lot, but it's so overstimulating. Yeah,
so
it's the sound, it's the crowd, it's everything compiled. Right. So at 7 a.m., I'm like, look, I'm a crusty disaster right now. We can either do this and be completely transparent and real, or we can reschedule for a later date. And she's like, practice what you preach. I'm like, okay. So my stanky self is on here doing what we do. And there's a lot of responsibility with being vulnerable, because it does take a lot of bravery, I think, to speak upon and advocate for what we do without being a total positivity, shove it down your throat cheerleader, because it's like that sometimes, but it's not like that all the time. And I think that part that resonates most with people that are newly diagnosed is saying, look, this isn't a rah, rah, your life is going to be awesome. You're going to hit rocks. You're going to hit trenches. Some days you're not going to be able to get yourself out of the trench and you need someone to throw your ass a rope, you know? But,
sure.
You know, I think it's a lot of yin and yang. And I see that. I see that when I've, you know, connected with you and stuff, that you take the good and the bad and you respect the good. And you respect the bad. And a lot of people, I think, that are, you know, having these struggles and these challenges of accepting their new reality is that they are not respecting the bad. And
and
there's
100%.
Value. There's
well
so
said.
Much value in the difficult parts, regardless of how traumatic or how physically painful or emotionally painful or spiritually painful. There's value. There's so much value.
Yes. I think, don't you think, Brittany, that that's when we learn the most? I mean, I would love to say that I've learned so much in the good. And I have, but I've learned much more in the bad.
Absolutely.
I mean, you've got one little guy, right?
I have a stepson and a stepdaughter.
Okay.
11 and 12.
I would say that the three, you know, I've got five now. My three, I think that I've learned so much more in the bad that I can look at now and go back to them and say, wow, you know what? When mom was on chemo, or I was doing back in the day, you know, five rounds of steroids. And I can look back now and say, gosh, I am sorry for how grouchy I was and how hard that must have been for you guys as kids, you know, how fearful that must have been. And I probably wasn't, I know I wasn't in my right mind, but I probably wasn't thinking at the time how that was affecting you guys in the moment of the 5 days, because you're just trying to get through it and you're not sleeping and you're nuts. And I probably wasn't thinking of, you know, their day-to-day stuff, I was probably just trying to get through.
You were in survival mode.
You know, I just wanted, and I just wanted you guys to know that as I'm doing, you know, this stuff and I'm seeing the kids around, that I do think about that all the time. And I love you guys and I hate that you had to go through it. No, I know the response is going to be, Mom, like, we love you. But I want them to be aware of the fact that, you know, I hate still that you guys have had to go through that. And I want you to know I'm aware of it when I see things. I may not have been then. So I think it is. It's the bad things.
That they shape you. Well, they shape you. They, you know, I think that you can find so much value in being comfortable with being uncomfortable, because growth doesn't come from, you know, security and stability and being complacent. Growth comes from everything being destroyed and then rebuilt again.
Right.
And it's so funny. Absolutely. So every person that I've talked to on the podcast, on my podcast here, and most people that I've connected that have figured out some sort of equation of moving forward in a positive way with their reality of an incurable progressive disease, every single one of those people have come from difficult walks of life or have gone through some sort of difficult situation. And they're like, okay, well, I've already gone through that, so this is nothing. You know?
Right. Yeah. So true. That is, And I know you've got the support of your parents and stuff, which is phenomenal. Your mom is really close. And I think, you know, the scary part, not even the scary part, but sometimes I look back and I think, man, sometimes it would just be awesome to have, you know, I didn't have that with my parents. And I think you and I have talked about that before. My dad is just a raging alcoholic and my mom is, you know, if you look up codependent, she's right there. That's just who she is. And so I've had to break contact with them years ago. And
that's hard. And that was hard. It's really hard. I recently just did that with my biological father's side. And it was, you know, something that had been kind of chipping away at me for a really long time of setting boundaries and saying, you know what, this isn't really, really healthy for me. But it's like, when you know that you have to do it, it doesn't make it any easier. It doesn't at all.
No, it doesn't. It's really, really difficult. And there's been so many times throughout this that I've wanted to, gosh, it'd be so great to have like my mom hug me and hold me and say, it's going to be okay. And, you know, I've never had that. Even when I was diagnosed so young. And there's been people that I've always felt that God has put in my path to, you know, be there for me. But that is a tough thing to not have that emotional support. But I do think as I've grown older, God has put young girls in my path that I can be that for them well. So I do think like you said, like when you go through those things, like you've gone through a hard walk through this, I think that it builds you stronger and you're able to do things and give things back.
Oh my gosh. I so agree. You have no idea. And it's hard when you're in it, but again, it's those little aha moments. You know, it's the, okay. Like you said, if younger people coming into your life, so you can be what you didn't necessarily have for yourself. So you're breaking that chain. And I think that's what's really difficult about going through hardship after hardship after hardship is, you can stay in the negative and it can be really easy to get stuck in that space. But it's like, break that chain. Break the chain.
Yes. Yeah.
And do something something different. You know, I'm very lucky and blessed that my mom and my dad, my dad is my stepdad, but he's raised me since I was five, with my mom. So he's my dad, he's my daddy, but both of them, you know, have their own health issues. My mother collects the autoimmune conditions. So she gets it. So I have, you know, the blessing with empathy from another parent who, if I say, hey, I'm like, you know, I'm in a flare, I'm just done right now. It's not, oh, well, you seemed fine today. Like, she gets it. And that is so rare. I have found from talking to other people that it's so rare. But regardless of the biological factor of your support system, because I don't believe that all family needs to be biologically related. My best friend is right. more of a sister to me than I think my stepsister was ever capable of being.
Wow. I hear that yeah, so often. Yeah,
it's just, you know what? Like, again, like you said, God will put the right people in your path. And God wants yeah. you, I feel, to learn from people that are going to empower you and inspire you and motivate yeah. you and move you. You know, you're it's sort of like picking a job, right? You're interviewing companies. Yeah. You're not going to interview the worst company and say, you know what? Yeah, sure. I'll take that job. No worries. You want the best
right.
job on your resume
100%.
To get you yeah. to that level. So it's a constant state of game up. You know what I mean? Level up.
Right.
Level up. Level
Absolutely.
Up.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Because we are ever changing and we're ever growing. And look at us getting all...
Yeah, look at us. We're just leveling up.
You know, and it's I think it's really, really hard when the thing holding you back, or not necessarily holding you back. I'm gonna suck that back in my face for a second. But the thing giving you the most obstacle and the most struggle and challenges is your own body.
Oh yeah, 100%. Because it's like you want to move forward and you get excited about like, oh, I could do this, and then all of a sudden your body's like,
right.
nope. It's like, because you've got these ideas and it's like, why can't I just get up and do it? I want to go do it. And then it's like, yeah, not today. And it's frustrating because, or I can have this stuff, like the weekend was a little busy for me. So then Monday comes and if I don't line it up correctly, then, you know, my brain's like, what did I have again? So I really have to be conscientious of making that place to get that right. stuff done. And it's just interesting because you get flustered because other people don't have to do that as much as we do, where we have to have it so, you know, regulated.
Regimented.
So, and it just gets, yes. And it's so not me. And so I'm just like, I can't always do that. But, so it is frustrating the amount of extra stuff, you know, that we have to kind of get done to keep
up
to get the stuff that we really
like
want out
It's like
an
extra
there.
Level of cognition of it. I don't know. It's like yeah. you're not driving a Toyota, which needs very little maintenance. And, you know, it's like you've got
right.
this old vintage rebuilt, you know, yeah,
stick
exactly.
That stock.
Yeah. So I think yeah. being really, learning how to be more self-aware and knowing what
yeah.
works for you, knowing when to say no and not feel guilty for it, man.
Yes. Oh gosh. Yeah. Yeah. Now, how have you done? Has this been a struggle for you? Because I know having the gym and having, you know, girls work for me and train and stuff. Not anymore, but then it was tricky when I started to come out more and advocate more. I would notice that some of them would say, you know, she doesn't remember a lot. You know, and I'd say, I'm not stupid. I was very much trying to explain to you what MS
right.
was and that cognitively these things happen. And I may need to go a little slower. But this wasn't to give you a free pass to bulldoze
right.
me over or to think that MS means you're stupid. So it was a lot more educating, but also to stick up for yourself and to learn to stand up for yourself when people are ignorant
right.
about what you have. And that was a big thing that I was like, wow, we still, here we are 2023, have to do a lot of explaining
yeah.
that you're
right.
not dumb.
Right.
You know, because... cognitively it
oh my
takes
gosh
you a little bit
longer. I can't tell you like this hasn't happened a lot but I have been also accused of conveniently forgetting things to make mm-hmm. it look like you know I want to get out of something and I'm like dude I can't it's like,
it's really frustrating
it's really really frustrating
happens.
Because you know people are manipulative and people are going to do
yes.
and say whatever they need to in order to get the outcome that they want. But I think it takes somebody pretty damn low to use a health condition as such. And I know, like, okay, thinking of what Adam just went through. Adam went through this horrible, horrible thing with disability and Social Security, accusing him of lying. I sent him so many DMs, being like, dude, this, like, I vent, let it out, let the, you know, let it, let it spill and let it fly, because that is just, it's so disheartening when it's authentic and you're in it and you just like, oh, just believe me, just believe me.
Yes. Yeah, it is. And actually Adam and I got to, there's a couple, you know, in this area. And so he's been so great at, with my Zooms and stuff. He's so, Adam, if you don't, it's Adam Powell. And if you don't, he's on Instagram and on Facebook, and he's just such a firecracker. But, this weekend he had invited two other MSers. He's got so many, he's always trying to like do something fun. And so he had invited me to a comedy show, and it was really great. And then Sunday, I've been wanting to get into swimming just to get my body back, and it's not so hard in your joints and all that. So of course he's always trying to tackle something new. And I kid you not, Brittany, he did such a great job.
Really?
I couldn't even go as fast as he did. I was like, dang, Adam. He was flying across. And he's like, watch me jump.
He has so much enthusiasm.
You're doing great.
Like his enthusiasm is sort of infectious. So I met him through you on Instagram. And I was like, oh, sweet. Another heavily tattooed MS warrior like me.
Yes. He's so tattooed. He wants me to get more. I'm like, okay, I want another one. Okay, let's get. So I got another one, and now I'm going to get one more. And I'm just like, this is fun. So he's just such a great guy. And I did a podcast with singles, and he was in it. It's supposed to air on this Wednesday. And it was just really neat to listen to, you know, the singles share about like what life is like being single, and very, very authentic, very true. And but yeah, I mean,
he's good people. He's good people. Adam, we love you.
Yeah. Yes. Adam knows.
Yeah, he's good people.
So, so really neat to have, you know, to meet others, you know, in your area that you can really bond with.
I know. For California, like I've got people all over the place in here. Dawn Marie, she's in Orange County. Damien's up in LA.
Okay.
Nicole Pedra, she's in LA too. And I'll tell you what, when we did that Zoom, that holiday Zoom, oh my gosh, that was so amazing.
Yes. That was awesome. So great. And I didn't know. I just know there's so many in California. I'm like, I got to get there. And it's funny because I just think that everybody teases me. There's a straight line. And I can just go to meet all of you.
Exactly. Just work down the line. Oh, Julie's coming. Julie Stamm is coming in February or March. I can't remember now.
Ooh,
yeah, her sister lives in Irvine in Orange County. So she's popping up. Her and I are going to get together. I'm like, yes. And that's the best thing. That is like, dude, it's so amazing to be able to finally hug. You know what I mean?
Oh,
and really
like
physically connect with the people that is your family. I feel more of a family sometimes with, you know, you guys online and the MS community.
Than, for sure.
Just like you said, somebody close to you that you're trying to explain everything to that they don't get it.
Oh yeah. I mean, even doing like the wind down thing where we did, you know, trying to figure out how to do it with the women like once so often. I think that was so fun to have the women together, you know, just talk about our junk, you know, and how it affects us and how, you know, whether it's a fun thing, whether it's a crappy thing. And I think it's just, it's important to do that stuff. And I think those kind of things are just important. And the things that we're able to talk about that people just don't
thank
talk
you.
About,
I think yes, those are, absolutely. And it,
you know, I think people are afraid to get on those topics. And I'm like, well, they're
But then when you
topics.
Do, I personally, from members of the family that are no longer in our lives, because John and I had to make a lot of decisions that, you know, accuse you of doing this for attention seeking. And it's like, okay, if that were the case, I would be selling feet pics somewhere to what's that thing, like new thing that everyone, I don't even remember what it's called. It's the thing where...
Yeah, I can't think of it.
Where the shameless people of the world are just selling whatever. You know what I mean? And it's like,
right. Oh yeah.
It takes a lot of vulnerability. I think it takes a lot of, being comfortable with yourself and, you know, of advocating for the most difficult things of your life. That's something to be really proud of. I am.
Oh yeah. I mean, I think you should be. And I think it takes, I mean, do you know how many names I thought about doing at the end of the year? A funny, like, I think I say at least 80% of the time the name's wrong. And these are doctors, these are, and I'm like, and I know I'm saying it wrong. And so, I mean, and they've been so kind with me. And I'm like, sorry about that. But I think it is vulnerable because you've got these people and I'm trying to hang with them. They're saying things I don't even know what they're saying. And so I think it's a very vulnerable time, but I want that message to come across. So, but anyway, I do think that it is a very, and I think people don't understand that until you're doing it. It sounds really exciting. And I don't know how you did like research for it, but I wanted to start it about 8 years ago. And I really started listening to them often and listening to the different kinds of podcasts. Like if it was going to be just about learning different things from doctors, or if I wanted it to be more conversational. The one I didn't like, and I don't know if you like these, Brittany, or not, I didn't want it to be one where it was just like the girlfriend to girlfriend, where they're laughing about stuff that no one understood but them.
Yeah.
I don't know if you ever listened to those.
I listened to.
But I was like, how's that going
to be? I listened to an interior design podcast that's very much like that. And it's like, it sounds cute, but we don't get your inside jokes. So when I started this, I tend to like things less structured. I like to have a good outline of things. Yeah. You know, to keep the flow going and everything, but you never know what's going to develop from a conversation. And I think there's beauty in that. And I like to approach things as organically as possible. So I'm like, you know what?
Yeah.
I'm not even going to brief myself. We're just going to go and we're just going to talk and we're going to be real. And you know what? If we move 5 people or 500 people, great. Both are great. Both are great. Yeah. And that's the one thing that I run into with trying to convince people that are starting their journey in advocacy and starting their journey in, you know, making a difference and sharing their story. They're like, well, I have to do this to get followers. The followers, it's great. And we appreciate all of you.
Absolutely.
But it means nothing and it's not why we do it. I don't care if I have 7 followers or I'm grateful for the 7,000 that I have, but it's irrelevant. It's completely irrelevant to why we do what we do. Completely. So if you're starting to want to dip your toe into, you know, advocacy for chronic illness or disability, speak your truth, be authentic to yourself, be organic, and just do it. Stop with the whole 100%. What's trending and what about the algorithm of this and that. It's like, for the love of God, just do you, boo.
Yes. Great advice. And don't try to be someone else, because that's when you mess up the most. Is just be who you are. Be funny, be nerdy, be, you know, I will always have a bit of nerd in me. So there's always going to be something.
Me too.
And know that, you know, I'm always going to be some Star Wars, some nerdy thing about me. And that's who I am. And so, love it about you and just
totally
be that.
Like yesterday, and we went to the Bruins and Ducks game, and you know everybody else is in jeans and jerseys, and I got to show you this because John, he's so, my husband, man, we are the lucky ones because we're just we're blessed. But this was my hockey game outfit, which is the complete opposite. Okay, well. It's in my stories. It's cowboy boots, a blue dress, like a green shirt, a Gucci belt, and some fur. And he's like, "You're wearing that to the game." I'm like, "Yeah." He's like, "Rock on, babe. You do you, boo."
I love that.
Be unapologetically you, and that's that's canvas printed or vinyl printed on a piece of wood at HomeGoods somewhere, I'm sure, but But there's real value in that because, you know, living with a chronic illness, it's like an onion. There's so many layers. Yeah. Some are good, some are sweet, some are sticky and stanky.
Right.
But you got to take the whole onion. You can't pick apart the layers that you want and choose to ignore the rest.
Absolutely. And that is so true because, you know, at the root of it, there's so many things, you know, that are there. And I think if we allow it to come out, if we allow it to get to the root of it, that it's not all the chronic disease. There's so many other things, like you're saying, and we can get to those. It helps us so much to accept whatever that chronic illness is and to move forward. And, you know, I remember, and I don't mean to call you out on this. I just think that it means so much to so many of us. I remember months ago when you were really struggling in your relationship with God. And I was so grateful that you had said something to me because I was like, man, I love you. And I love that you're so real about that you didn't try to hide it because, you know, no matter how close we are in our relationship with God. And I love that there's, you know, so many of us that can really be honest and about relationships, whether we've got a relationship with God or whatever whatever that is. And I really appreciated that. So I could really know how to pray for you through this. And, you know, if we can't be authentic about that, then we really don't have a friendship. If you can't tell the friends that we are closest to, like, hey, I got to be honest with you. Like right now, I don't even know where I am with God. Like right now, I'm just pissed. Right now, I feel like he just kind of left me and was like, you know, hey, just good luck on your own because I really don't have anything else I can do for you. And if we can't say that and say those things, then where are we at? Because I want to be able to say those things too when I feel like he's just kind of
taking a back seat. But you know what? That's the thing though. It's like I've learned that sometimes God is the loudest when he's silent. And it's that after effect, that aftershock, aha moment of saying, okay, all right, Dad, don't know what the hell I was thinking.
Yeah. But. right. But at the time when nothing makes sense, you're like, great, just be silent because that's just exactly what I needed. And, you know, and allow those other people to stand with you when you're exhausted. Allow us to, you know, be the hands and the arms to lift you up. And if you don't have those friendships, then what good are we? If we can't be the hands and feet for you, then there's no real authentic friendships.
Oh, I love that. Tell everybody, Kathy, where can we find you? Where can we find you? Where can they connect with you?
Sure. Well, I just did a quick video, which was my three curls today. So I did a video that, so tomorrow we're doing our Zooms. So I do the personal training, the one-on-one, and that's the MS Disrupted. So you can email me at msdisrupted@gmail.com. And so that we do the one-on-one, that's what I do here. So I'm always with you either in studio or if you're not near here, then we do it on Zoom. And I love that because then I could be right with you and help you through that. And MS workout is very different than, you know, the idea that, oh my gosh, it's going to make me do burpees. It's a very different thing. It's functional things for you, for me, so that, you know, to help with the drop foot, to help with the leg strength, to help with the ab strength. No one wants that hug. No one wants, we want to be able to use our upper body and our lower body. And then the other thing is our Zoom classes that we started. And that is, we've got one at 1 p.m. our time, so check your time zone to see. And then tomorrow we'll start at 7 p.m. So we've got two different times, and that really is kind of fun because we've got a seated and a standing. So I'll show the move seated and standing. And so that's another one because you've got the camaraderie of course, Adam's there. He's always having a blast doing it. But it gives, you know, that camaraderie, and it gives them something to look forward to and me so we can have time to kind of chat before and then get started with that. So that you can find on my Instagram, which is that MS Disrupted. And with that, it gives you a link in the bio so you can get started and register for that. And then my website, which you can also find is msdisrupted.com. So those are ways you can get a hold of me and you can get started with any of those. And so I've loved it. It's just a different feeling, Brittany, to wake up and be excited about doing a podcast or doing, you know, a workout that's so totally different, but you know, like to watch them like cry or say like I was able to stand in the shower today.
It's so rewarding.
Such a different thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It makes a difference. It's really different. It makes a difference. So I love you so much. And I'm so glad that you so finally much. Now know that I didn't defriend you from Instagram. She loved me, you guys. She's like, I don't know if I did something wrong. And I'm like, no, I'm just an idiot.
Like, did I really piss you off?
I told Johnny, we were in the car heading to CarMax because we had like this huge debacle with a car purchase gone wrong, a lemon. And I'm like, oh my gosh, she legit thinks that I like hated her or something. He's like, just tell her that you're an idiot. I'm like, well, I was. I do. It was so awesome. No, awesome talking you. With you, sweetie. And I cannot wait to one too. Day make our virtual hug a physical hug.
Yes, I know. I'm going there because that's
please come.
I'm really proud of you for starting this podcast.
Thank you. I to this day I still have no idea what I'm doing, but I feel like that's the fun of it, and the beauty of it is just you just go you know. And I'm so proud of you and your podcast and your work and everything doing. It's meaningful. It holds a lot of value.
Thank you.
And it's, you know, I love you.
Thank you
truly.
Thank you. I love you.
Thanks for listening to All the Odds with that crazy tattooed MS chick. What's her name again? Oh, right. A hot MS. When you're not listening here, check out her website for the latest blog or shoot her a DM on the gram. Oh, yeah. She's on that TikTok thing, too. And don't forget to celebrate your disasters. Your victories get enough attention.